It's Thursday of the first week of Advent. Welcome to today's Adventcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. From Advent to Epiphany by Father Patrick Troedek. The powers of heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. The Gospel for Sunday in Luke 21, verses 16 to 27. After the description of the precursory signs of the end time, St. Luke speaks of the return of Christ on a cloud. This cloud will be like that of the day of the Ascension. In fact, it is written in the Acts of the Apostles that Jesus will come down in the same way that he went up to heaven. Acts 1, verse 11. Today, let us meditate on the reasons why God the Father gave his Son the power to judge us. According to Holy Scripture, the Father does not, in fact, judge anyone, but he has put all judgment in the hands of the Son. John chapter 5, verse 22. We will be judged by the holy humanity of our Lord, for it is by that humanity that our redemption was worked, by it that we have the unimaginable grace of entering heaven. It is therefore fitting that we be judged by our Lord in his humanity, he who snatched us out of the claws of the devil and allowed us to merit heaven. Moreover, it is fitting that we be judged by the humanity of our Lord so that justice be given him. Reparation has to be made for the iniquitous condemnation of Jesus under Pontius Pilate. The man was judged. The man will judge. Our Lord, wrongly condemned, will himself condemn those truly guilty. Finally, St. Augustine gives a third motive explaining the choice of our Lord as judge at the end of time. Our Lord will appear in his humanity so that the good and the wicked may both see him. Indeed, the vision of God face to face is reserved for the just, according as it is written, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." Matthew 5, verse 8. Knowing that I will be judged by thee at the moment of my death and at the last judgment, I wish today, O Jesus, to open my soul to thy grace in order to prepare myself to welcome thee with joy and with love as my Savior on the beautiful feast of Christmas. From Meditations for Each Day by Antonio Cardinal Bacci. St. Thomas Aquinas writes that man genuinely loves himself when he directs all his activities towards God. True self-love, then, consists in dedicating all our thoughts and actions to God, who is our highest and only true good. Anything which does not lead us to God is vain and useless. Anything which keeps us away from God separates us from our true good and therefore leads us towards everlasting spiritual ruin. We should love ourselves, then, by loving ourselves in God and for God. If we fail to do this, we hate rather than love ourselves because we make folly, sin, and eternal damnation the objects of our lives. Christianity, we may now conclude, cannot be said to condemn self-love. It does not condemn it, but it simply puts it right. The Church has always been opposed to any form of quietism or puritanism which would advocate the pure and disinterested love of God to the extent of excluding any thought of our own happiness as the reward of our actions, as if it would be possible to love God when one had lost him. On the contrary, if we love God in himself and above all things, we love ourselves also, because only in loving God can we achieve our own perfect happiness. The pure love of God does not exclude self-love, but elevates and completes it. Any other kind of self-love is not true love, but is a distorted affection which diverts us from the pursuit of our final end. Let us examine ourselves on this point. What is the object of our thoughts, affections, and actions? Is it the glory of God and the triumph of his kingdom? If so, we can claim to love ourselves as we ought. Otherwise, our self-love is distorted and sinful.